and sing redemption songs. Some. Brave and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim, protect me by thy saving power. Hear my plea, my feeble. Oh, yes, dear Lord, look when I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to the land of the fire, crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim, protect me by thy saving power. Hear my plea, my feeble. Oh, yes, dear Lord, look down. When I kneel in prayer, hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Amen.
Let us bow our heads as we go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have provided for us.
Amen.
We thank you, O Father, that you created us to serve you and that we have this opportunity this day to come out to worship and to serve you.
Amen.
Help us always to remember that our main purpose here, why we were created, was to serve you, to please you. And it's not of our own will that we should go about doing things, but we should look to you and we should always be trying to please you. Help us to be true and faithful to you.
Amen.
To always be grateful for what you have done for us. Help us not to take things for granted, O Father. Your death upon the cross is something which was, although painful, was wondrous for us. It kept us away from sin. For those of us, O Father, who truly believe and trust in you, it is an opportunity for us to live eternally with you. So, Father, help us each day not to forget your promise to us and our purpose. As we come to worship this morning, we thank you for touching the hearts of our leaders,
yes,
that they could see it fit to adjust the worship, our, the worship gathering, that we can now gather as more together and worship you. Father, we ask that you continue to touch their hearts, to guide them so that they, in their planning, they will consider you and they will think of the church and put the church first in their plans. Amen. Heavenly Father, this morning we give you thanks and praise for your blessings, for sustaining us with life, for waking up us up this morning, and for allowing us to be able to come out to worship you. There are many of us, O Father, who are suffering physical aches and pains, but dear Father, you have provided for us, and Amen. You are working with the doctors and the medication,
yes.
O Father, to continue to restore us to better health.
Yes.
I thank you, O Father, for this. You know when we are sad, you know when we are aching, and you have never left us. You have stood beside us, and you, O Father, feel our pain, and so you help us by restoring us to better health. For all those members of your body, O Father, who are suffering physically this
yeah.
day, I pray that you will continue to bless them, to provide through the doctors and the medication your support, and at your own will and in your own time, that you will restore them to better health. Father, I will not name them individually, but
yes.
oh Father, you know them.
Amen.
You made us, so you know exactly what's wrong with us, and you
Amen.
Can heal us. It's us for us to have faith and to depend on you and to be patient, knowing that you are working while we are suffering, and that one day, oh Father, our suffering will end.
Amen.
So we thank you, Father, for all that you are doing. As we come this morning to worship you, we pray, oh Father, for our minister and his family. We pray especially for Sister Michelle this morning, that you will continue to bless her and give her good health, and that she will continue to support her husband
Amen.
And the rest of his family, oh Father. He has been a good minister to us.
Yes.
He has brought your word to us each week. And Father, we ask that you continue to strengthen him, to give him good health, and to bless him. And Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have lost loved ones. And we are speaking now, Father, of those who have lost loved ones through the pandemic. Father, there have been many thousands, millions throughout the world. But dear Father, you are in charge, and you will comfort them. And we pray that you will comfort those in our land who have suffered. Now we ask, O Father, for those in our congregation who have lost loved ones, we ask for that you comfort and you look after the family of Sister Audrey, who has just passed away. We ask that you comfort her and that you help us as a congregation to continue to support her with our prayers and
yes.
our kind words.
Yes.
Father, for those who have traveled overseas, we ask for your protection for them, and that you will bring them back at the appointed time and bring them back safely. We pray for the young people of this country, O Father. We pray especially to dear Father for the women. What is happening to the women in our society, O Father? We ask that you protect them. Men have lost it, O Father, and they are taking it out on the women.
Amen.
And O Father, it's sad, but dear God, you are in charge. And we pray for this on this Mother's Day, that the men remember the women and show more respect to them and treat them with love. Father, we ask for your guidance for them. We ask for your protection. We ask that you touch the hearts of these men, the callous hearts of all, and that you replace it with the hate that they have in their hearts with love, and that we will become a loving and kinder society. Dear Father, we pray for the young people of our society, especially those young men who are in the prison. We ask that you bless them and their families, and that you protect the warders who look after them. Father, because of the pandemic, we have been curtailed in carrying your word to the prisons. But dear Father, you are providing a way, and in due course, O Father, you will allow us to go back to the prisons and be able to administer to the young men. Heavenly Father, as we worship you this morning, we ask that we worship in spirit and in truth, and that we give you the due worship. Let us sing with praise from our hearts, and let us pray to you with praise from our hearts. Thank you, Father, again for the opportunity to be able to come out and give you praise. May you continue to bless us as we worship you. All of these things I pray through your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
At this time, we will turn to song number 172.
That is so important and so demanding. In fact, it is in those areas, rearing the child, that mothers, women have shown that they are so much more responsible than men. That's right. That's right. So we say thanks. Thanks to God and thanks for the mothers and would-be mothers. And as I from time to time explain and point out, as the Bible does, the Bible shows that it is not simply giving birth to a child that makes one a mother. It is more than that. So I hope you enjoy the day and that God, if you're a child of God, he will use you in whatever way you are best fitted to help in the home and all of that. May I just drop along here because which there will be a lesson in days or weeks or months to come. No less than 3 times over the past few days in discussing with individual, the point came up that one of the problems that we are now facing is the viciousness of the crime that are being committed. And when I hear from people who are acknowledging that part of the problem of the heartlessness, the viciousness of a lot of the young people, part of it, and I said part of it, is that so many young men never get a chance to go to Sunday school. And when I hear from people that you expect church people to know this, but a lot of time, my experience over the past few days is a lot of time this is being said from people who don't have a lot of commitment to church, but they acknowledge that there is a God. And the contention is, their thinking is, if more of these young men had been exposed to Sunday school when they were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, to put some acknowledgement of God and a little fear of God in them, they would grow up with a little more heartfulness. Just that few years of exposure to Sunday school teaching would instill in so many of them that there is a higher being. So that they would recognize when you get away from the police and from the civil authority, you can't get away from God. So we, having known this, should also want to pray for our Sunday school, and to always encourage those parents within our reach, our neighborhood, workplace, to see to it that their sons and daughters who are young, that they send them to Sunday school, because not that it can make a difference, it does make a difference. Let us pray. Almighty, merciful, gracious, everlasting God in heaven, we bow in your presence. We come to your throne of grace and mercy, giving you thanks, my God, for your grace and mercy through Jesus the Christ, giving you thanks for your goodness and love towards us, and begging through Christ for your help, for your guidance. We come, and even at this time, we will be looking to your word for enlightenment, my God, for guidance, for direction, for challenge, for encouragement. We beg that you will guide us in the studying of your word. May you open our understanding, my God, to understand your revelation to us. May you give us the memory to retain all that we can. May you help us not only to apply the truth learned today to ourselves, but to seek the opportunity whereby we will share it with others. I beg, my God, through Jesus Christ for your help, that you will grant me the physical and spiritual strength as I share this lesson, that you will, my God, grant me the understanding of your will so that I will represent you correctly, that you will forgive me, my God, of my sin and trespasses in thoughts, in words, in deeds, that you will so direct me to speak as your oracle, my God, that I will not only represent you correctly, but that I will make the lesson simple and plain so that everyone will understand. Be with all of us, my God, and direct the study of your word. I pray through Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Wilson that you read for us. Yes, your father must acknowledge he's not the only Brother Wilson in the audience. That you read for us 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
For God hath not given us the spirit
of fear. For God hath not given us
the spirit of fear.
The spirit of fear.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord.
Okay. For God hath not given us. The us there, we must write here up front, this refers to the Christian. I repeat, this us refers to the Christian, because it is the Christian with whom the Holy Spirit works. In fact, that was one of the lessons I had in mind for this morning. A better understanding of the Holy Spirit and his work in our time. By our time, I don't simply mean the 21st century, but since Christianity came into the world, the working of the Holy Spirit in the church, in God's people. That was meant to be the lesson this morning, so as to give you a better understanding of the work and function of the Holy Spirit in the Christian today. So I repeat, the Holy Spirit works in God's people. Read it again, brother, verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear.
God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Christian, did you hear that? It's not God's will that we live in fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear,
but of power and of love.
But of
power.
Power.
And of love.
And of love.
And of a sound mind.
And of a sound mind. Now, these are great assets that the Almighty God gives us as Christians. We discussed today, and most likely we will be able to cover only part of this lesson. We discussed today passing the breaking point without breaking. Passing the breaking point without breaking. You and I mean today, we live at a time when it's easy to get broken. The coronavirus has broken a lot of men and women. That's right, people, by not being able to go about their regular business, they develop mental problems. People having to be at home all the time. And when they do go out, they go out in fear. They are broken. All sorts of things are happening to people. When this coronavirus is brought under control, it will leave so much negative. In fact, what we are learning too is that if you contract the virus, when it is cured, it may leave you with a lot of other problems. Wait. The expert is not saying everybody will be so affected, but this over the past many months, I've heard this from expert on the news no less than 3 times. So we come back to the fact that this virus has left and will leave us, many of us, broken. But God's people can go beyond the breaking point and not be broken. That's what the passage the brothers read. In fact, there are two other passages, St. John chapter 14, verse 27, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Let us hear those two passages. St. John chapter 14, verse 27. And 1 Peter 3, 14.
Peace I leave with you.
Peace I leave with you.
My peace I give unto you.
My peace I gave unto you.
Not as the world
giveth. It's the peace that Jesus Christ... Wait. Peace here is referring to the stability that is within. The equanimity in our lives. And Jesus Christ, through Peter, through the writer John here, is telling us that the peace that he gives is completely different from the peace we get from the secular world. Read.
Give not as the world giveth.
Not as the world giveth.
Give I unto you. Let not your heart
let
be troubled.
Let not your heart be troubled.
Neither let it be afraid.
Here again, we are being told that as children of God, we should not live in fear. We should not keep crossing bridge of negativity that we have not yet reached. Here, you or I might be 50 years old, and we fret every day, what about if me live to see 70? Who going to take care of me? My God, you have not reached 70 yet. Huh? You have not reached that bridge. Give God thanks for where you are now. And remember, when you reach that bridge, the same God who has brought you this far will take you over. Jesus Christ said, sufficient unto the days are the evil thereof. Brother Mitchell, that passage, you know, see how sophisticated it is. No, it's the King James translation which makes it sound sophisticated. Sufficient unto the days are the evil thereof. What Jesus Christ is saying, deal with the issue that you have right now. Don't fret about one you think going to come tomorrow. Passing the breaking point without breaking. That's what Paul is dealing with. In the book of 1 Timothy, the Almighty God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of sound mind. Is that taken from the second book of Timothy? Yes. What about the second book of Timothy, Brother Mitchell? The second book of Timothy was written by Paul from the best room in a palace. No, it was written from prison cell. And look here, look here, look here. The prison cell of that first century Christianity was a terrible experience. If you compare the cell of prison then with the cell of prison now, the cell of prison now would look like a 5-star hotel room. That's right. That's where this letter was written from. Yes, yes, when Paul wrote the book of 2 Timothy, he was in prison. And here this man from prison cell telling the young preacher he trained that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Huh? But of what, brother? Power. Brother, you are in prison there, sleeping on the cold stone, and you talk about power and what else?
And of love.
Of love? You talk about love. And of sound mind? Brother Paul, you soon get crazy in that cell. Not only that. This was Paul's second imprisonment for Jesus Christ and the gospel. Talk about God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love, of sound mind. Yes, it was the second imprisonment. Are we all there? Not only that, this is the final inspired word that came from Paul. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? It's the last letter Paul wrote. Of the 13 to 14 books he wrote, you and I are now being blessed from this final letter that the Almighty God, through the Holy Spirit, inspired him to write. The last letter this great witness of Jesus Christ wrote from prison cell. And it was written to a young preacher who was Paul fear about to face difficult times in the church. That is Timothy. Are we all there? When Paul wrote this letter, it was a difficult time for him. Because, watch here now. Do you know when we need friends very much so? When our backs are against the wall. When you are facing difficulties of one sort or the other, that's the time. Those one or two or three or four people that you feel close to, you feel you can trust, that's the time you need them. Listen, Paul in chapter 4, verse 16 through 17. Same, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and 17.
At my first answer, no man stood with me.
At my first answer, you know what he's saying here? He was forsaken by friends, people in the church that he was depending on to stand by him. Because it's not because he committed any crime. His crime was preaching the gospel of Christ. That's what put him in prison. And Christian, who he thought would have dared to encourage him, send a letter now and again, a visit now and again, they were not there. Read, brother.
But all men forsook me.
All men forsook me. My God, can you imagine? Huh? The people that he converted, the people that he strengthened by his teaching and preaching, they were not there for him. To the extent that he noticed it. All men forsake me. Read, brother.
I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge.
May God not hold this selfishness and ingratitude to their charge. Isn't this wonderful? What verse is that?
Verse 16.
Read on.
Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me.
God stood with me. We are discussing today, hold the passage, passing the breaking point without breaking. If you strive to be a faithful child of God, in the same way, when men forsake you, out of ingratitude, selfishness, whatever, the Almighty God will never forsake you. This is a fact. This is a fact. He said, nevertheless, while Christian brothers and sisters forsook me, God didn't. Wait. We must remember to always be there for the brothers and sisters going through whatever the trial is. In the little or big way that we can, let us remember that. Huh? Never get so caught up, so busy doing your business, that you forget to give encouragement, support, and whatever else necessary to brothers and sisters who may be going through difficult times. Wait. When you don't know about it, that's different. But when you're aware of it, give support. Read, brother.
That by me the preaching might be fully known,
mm-hmm.
and that all the Gentiles might hear.
Mm.
and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion.
You hear that? Mouth of the lion here doesn't necessarily mean lion, you know. When Paul talked about the beasts of Ephesus, he was talking about people. That's right. Paul was forsaken by friends and had to face bitter trial, outbreak of persecution was now about to take place. This is 64 AD under Nero. Many of us at Easter time, they usually show Quo Vadis on the TV. That's the time when Nero, one of the many great and wicked emperors of Rome, burned Rome to blame it on the Christian. This was the time about 60, 64, 65 AD. Paul wrote this. As I've said, the letter of 2 Timothy was written by Paul to inspire and to strengthen Timothy for the work that this young preacher was doing in Ephesus. Ephesus was the cesspool of idolatry, idol worshiper. One of the seven wonders of the world was the temple of Diana, one of the idolatrous gods. Timothy and the church was about to face the threat and the danger of heresies and religious false infection. That is dangerous religious false doctrine was about this time just creeping in the church. The apostles were dying off. And it was young men like Timothy that God and Paul were depending on to keep the light burning so that it would reach you and me. That's the time. Both as a Christian and as a young preacher, he was to face situation that would test, that is Timothy, this situation would test his faith, that is his belief in Jesus Christ, and his courage. Are we all there? The Holy Spirit upon you and me and upon every man and woman becoming a Christian, the Holy Spirit fill us with power for service and for living. I repeat, when you or I or any man is taught the simple plan of salvation, which every man must hear before you can become a Christian, the Bible's way. When you are taught the simple plan of salvation, upon becoming a Christian, you do not tarry for the Holy Spirit. I need to say that again, because a lot of time we forget the falsehood that you do not tarry for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. We were never told to tarry. But Brother Mitchell, I read in the Bible where Jesus Christ told some of his disciples to tarry. But that is not for you and me. Because he did not only tell them to tarry, he told them where they should tarry. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Those to whom he had spoken about tarrying, he did not tell them to tarry and stop there. He told them where to tarry. And that tarrying was not to be done in Kingston or Spanish Town or Mandeville or Scott Pass. That's my little district. It was not to be done in New York or London. It was to be done at Jerusalem. So when people out there telling you about their tarrying for the Holy Spirit, let them take you and show you where in the Bible tell them to tarry. That tarrying was said directly to Jesus' apostles. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? You and I do not have to tarry for the Holy Spirit. Up and you becoming a child of God, the very moment you become a child of God, the Holy Spirit is given to you. And the Bible, you see, that is what, when you talk about indwelling, that's what we get. We get the indwelling. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? It means that the Holy Spirit dwell in us. That's simply what this word means. And that is every true child of God up and hearing the gospel, the first principle, believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing faith in Christ and getting baptized. You get this. You don't have to tarry. Listen, because, you know, so many times we just move on to other point because we assume that you know this. But let us make sure you understand that this is taught in the Bible. And we go to the book of Peter. Let me hear it. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, verse 36, 37, and 38. Let us hear it. Let us hear it. Acts chapter 2, verse 36, 37.
Therefore, let all the hosts of Israel know assuredly.
That is Peter is preaching.
Wait.
This is the first time the gospel message is preached in fact. Not in promise, not in preparation, but in fact. Because at this time, Jesus Christ had died, buried, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. So Peter is now preaching. Let all the house of Israel know for certainty that what, brother?
That God hath made the same Jesus.
The same Jesus Christ whom you crucified less than 2 months ago.
Both Lord.
God made him Lord and Christ. Read on.
Now, when they heard this.
The people to whom Peter was preaching, when they heard this message.
They were pricked.
It got to them. They felt their guilt. Their sinfulness, that's all that means. They were pricked in their heart. They realized that even though they were religious, they still needed Jesus Christ. They needed forgiveness. They needed to be in a right relationship with God according to the gospel. They were pricked in their heart. Wait. It's good when we have a sensitive heart. Truly. Because opposite that is an heart or a conscience that is seared with an hot iron. Where nothing moves or touch or get to you. They were pricked in their heart. Said to Peter and to the rest of the apostle.
Men and brethren. What shall we do?
What shall we do? Wait. What does that mean? That's a nice, important question. It means, what must we do to become Christian? It means, what must we do to be forgiven for our sins? It means, what must we do to be pleasing to God? It means, what must we do to become children of God? That's verse 37. Now, verse 38 will address this indwelling business. Read.
Then Peter said unto them, Repent.
Watch here. Are you watching? The question they asked tell us that they already believe. That's right. What question they are? What must we do? Showing that they already believe. Having believed, and their question demonstrate that Peter told them to do what? Repent. Read, brother.
And be baptized.
Get baptized.
Everyone,
get baptized for
the remission of sins. And ye shall...
Wait, take time with me now, brother. I'm very slow. For removal of sin. That's why men and women got baptized then. That's why men and women get baptized now. It is not an outward show of an inner grace. Because you cannot have any inner grace until you get your sins removed. Did you get that? The man-made churches out there preach and teach that baptism is an outward sign of an inner grace. You get God's grace inside when you obey Christ. And Peter is telling these people how to get God's grace. Repent
and be baptized.
Get baptized.
Every one of you.
All of you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
For the remission of sins.
Wait, no, watch here now. I want you to watch the sequence. For the removal of sin. But in the finish.
And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
You get it? You get it? I wonder if you see. Having gotten your sins removed, are we all there? Then you will get the Holy Ghost as a gift. But before this gift is given, this must be done. Your sin must first be dealt with by the blood of Christ. That's the sequence we have here. You notice it? They believe. How do we know? The question they asked. After that, they were told to repent and get baptized. Why? For the word remission, remit, wipe out, get rid of, remove, that's the concept of the word remit. For the remission of sin, that's how we get our sins remitted, removed. And after your sin is remitted, removed, the Holy Spirit is given to you. Once your sin is removed, and not before, that's the time the Holy Spirit is given. So can I get back to my lesson now? That we do not have to tarry for the Holy Spirit. We only have to obey the first principle of the gospel. There you have it. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and baptize. The Holy Spirit is given to us to work with us. How long, Brother Mitchell? As long as you live. You become a Christian when you were 12, 14, 15, 16, 18, 20, whatever. And you live to be 150. As a faithful child of God, the Holy Spirit will be working with you all through these years. But in this lesson, it's not my intention to tell you the main purpose of the Holy Spirit. We are saying that We do not have to tarry for the Holy Spirit. I'm saying that upon becoming a Christian, the Holy Spirit filled us with power for service and for living. You hear? The Holy Spirit enables us with the guidance and the strength to live the Christian life. Look at the passage of Romans 8:15. Romans 8:15. Let us hear it.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear.
Wait. Here again. Paul, writing to the Christian in Rome, said, you have not received the spirit of bondage, that is, of slavery. To what? Fear?
Again to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption.
You have received the spirit of adoption. Wait. What, Brother Mitchell? What it is saying, you know, if you were an abandoned child, forsaken, your mother and father died, and probably 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you're on the street, knocking from one place to the other. And a rich, loving multimillionaire come, and they didn't just take you off the street. They go to the appropriate government agency to adopt you as a part of their family. That's what God has done to us and for us sinners. That's right. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ from the slave market of sin where Satan had us. Read, brother.
Whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Whereby we can say Pupa, Pupa. That's the concept in Abba, Father, you know. It's not just Father. It's the old country Pupa, Pupa, or Daddy, Daddy. Huh? Wait, what is striking here? It's only when we are adopted into God's family through faith, repentance, and baptism, we can approach God as Daddy or Papa. I didn't call my father Papa or Daddy. We call him Uncle. All of us. Because by the time we came along, there were some older ones who were nephew and niece to my father, and they usually call him Uncle. So when we came along, we know his children. We just call him Uncle. And almost everybody in this district, all when I grew up to be a man, my father died almost when he was 80 or 70, close to that age, close to 70. Everybody called him Uncle. But you see, the whole country affectionate is Papa, Daddy. When we become Christian, we can approach God as Papa, Daddy. That's the concept in the word, Abba, Abba, Father. We too face difficult times that sometimes encourages fear. That's right. Wait. But he has not given us the spirit of fear. That's right. That's what we are on. Passing the breaking point and not breaking. But that we have not been given the spirit of fear by God doesn't mean we do not face fearful times and situation. First, we must acknowledge that God does not want us to live in fear. But we must realize that fearful moments will come. It is those moments that we have to rock back on our faith in God. When those fearful moments come, when they do come, they want to sweep us off our feet. And they do come in a lot of ways. I'm not going to have time. When I pick up on the lesson, we will be looking on the many areas in which faithful, fearful moments, and they come in dozens of ways. Troubling time. You know, the inspired writer talk about as though some strange things happen to you. That's right. Fearful moment can come. Are you trying to do a little business and for yourself to make a bread? Fearful moment can come. Fearful time can come in that. Are you a mother and father with your children, sons and our daughters? Fearful moment can come from the very fact that you are a parent, where that daughter or son may make you have sleepless nights. No doing of yourself. Are you trying your best at the workplace? Fearful moment can come there. Are you taking care of your health, eating properly and all of that? Yes, but with all of that, fearful moment, personal things can happen to you health-wise. Wait. When we get back to the lesson, I'll be showing the many areas in which fearful time can come. But those are the time we need not to dwell in fear, not to live in fear, but remember that we have a big God that is able to deal with all our fears. Yes, as children of God, we can pass the breaking point without breaking. And when the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to pen this letter to Timothy, that the Almighty God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of sound mind. Wait, Christian, never act like a screw is missing up here. Amen. That's never Christianity. When I get to a lesson that I've been promising for months or whatever, a lesson dealing with the fact that God does not want us to be gullible people. He wants us to be discriminating people. The business of having a sound mind, a discriminating mind, a mind that loves the truth, going to come in quite helpful there. So again, don't think that God wants you to live in fear, but fearful moments, they do come. You hear somebody trying to break down your door 1, 2 o'clock at night. There are some of us that would respond to that with anger. Wait, nothing wrong with certain hunger, because certain type of hunger or vexation place the whole mental state and the body in a state to defend itself. That's the way God makes us. But there are others of us who hear our door being broken down 2 o'clock at night. We become so fearful and so trembling that we cannot even think what is the wise thing to do. Are you going to respond in fear? Well, probably nothing is wrong in being fearful at that point. But when we get back to the lesson, God's willing, hopefully next week, we will pick up on this point that fearful moments come. Have you ever considered and contemplate the situation where the Almighty God had to assure Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you"? That passage going to come in. That we are confronted with situation in life. Is it in the home, in my marriage, at the workplace, wherever? Where we need to remember assurance like that, "My grace is sufficient for you." Are you aware that whatever difficult moment you might be facing, are you there? Difficult moment and tough times do not last. Tough people do. Amen. That's right. Amen. Tough times do not last. Tough people last. Anyway, we'll pick up on these points when we get back to this lesson. If you're not a child of God, Jesus Christ can enable you to not only meet situations that would break ordinary people, you can meet them and go through them without breaking if you are in Jesus Christ. This morning you can come believing, come repenting, come confessing Christ's name, come getting baptized for the removal of your sin so that Jesus Christ can start preparing you for the person that can meet these moments. As we stand and sing a song, will be sung to the honor and glory of God's name, but it is also an appropriate time for you to step forward and give your life to Jesus Christ if you are not a Christian. Come now as we stand and sing. Five. 517. Jesus Christ is calling you to come within his circle so that he can start preparing you for life and living and for eternity beyond death. Right now, you are given that opportunity.